So we'll just pick up where we left off, or I'll just summarize quickly. The question that we're dealing with is if the din of Shnayim Shesu'ua is a universal din, which is, you know, in other words, not limited to Shabbos, it's not limited to Chayve Chataos, so why do all the Rishonim here point to local psukim regarding Ritzicha as the basis for exempting the case of Iku Asar B'nei Adam B'Vasach? So we're examining now the first suggestion that we had, which was, and so far we've only offered this one, which was that Shnayim Shesu'ua, after all, we know only applies L'Halacha, at the very least, in the case of Zeyachol V'Zeyachol. So maybe what we'll say is the p'tur of Asar Hiku is not limited to that. It's true even if the Gemara doesn't say, but presumably it's not limited to cases of Zeyachol V'Zeyachol. So presumably even if these are cases, even if each of the individual Hakaos is Einba K'dei L'Hamis, or Einba K'dei L'Hamis, but if, you know, overall it was something which is sufficient to kill him, so then presumably that'll be Pater too as part of this tour that the Gemara says, and therefore you could argue that the Pasuk is required for that case. So the question we've been probing and we've been discussing is granting that the din of Hiku Asar Ben Adam does exempt in that case. It's not mentioned, but as I said, probably you would assume that the Gemara should mention it if it isn't true in that case, and at any rate, the Rivash clearly implies that this is true. But is it true that we need the Pasuk to exempt in that case? In particular, is it possible that the various makim in this case would be putter midin, would be exempt based on the din of Be'evin Asherim Muspa, which the Gemara says means that we require that the Maaser Ritzicha has a... It'd be a sheer sheyesh pagdei lamas, be predictably lethal. If it's hakash sheyesh pagdei lamas, you're mechayev. If it's hakash ein pagdei lamas, the Gemara says, you're putter. So we suggested in part that could depend whether or not that's something which would exempt in this case could depend on the basis of the patur of hakash ein pagdei lamas. If the basis is either anus of lo avelu esukei daite, or that we just don't link the death to the act, we view it as a separate sort of cardiac episode. So then it's clearly irrelevant here. It won't apply, it won't provide a basis to pater the makim, because it's not true in these cases. It's something which is anticipatable, and it also is something which is clearly linked to the person's death. What I was suggesting, however, was that if you understand the patur of Hakash Emek K'dei L'Hamas as it's a sheer k'dei l'hamis. It simply defines the kind of act which the Torah is mechayev for. And the sharpest formulation of this is that defines what the Torah considers and deems to be a ma'aser ritzicha. So to qualify as a ma'aser ritzicha, makas maves, so it has to be a certain kind of act. It has to be an act of lethal brutality, a killing act. And short of that, so an act that causes someone's death is just that, a ma'aser ba'ama, which causes someone's death. If that's how we understand this din of hakash she'em ba k'dei l'hamis, the p'tur hakash she'em K'dei L'Hamas, then I think that whether that p'tur applies in the case of Iku Asar B'nei Adam, this is what I was starting to suggest, that might depend on how we understand the basis for the chiyuv of the Zeyachol, sorry, the Zein Yachol, Zein Yachol, Lefir Bihuda, which in turn, I think, depends on how we understand the basis for the p'tur in the case of Zeyachol, Zeyachol. So here we suggested that there are two ways to understand the p'tur. We pointed out the two ways to understand the p'tur. The first is that this p'tur is rooted in a principle that we just cannot attribute a single act to two different agents. Cannot define two different agents as sort of owners, as authors of one act. And therefore, when both of them have a legitimate claim to ownership or to authorship of the act, so it's accredited to neither of them, because it cannot be accredited to the both, and therefore it's just something which is, they have some involvement in, but they're not, in a sense, the Baal HaMaisim. So there's each, you know, there's each... Each's legitimacy in terms of his standing vis-a-vis the Maisa as having executed undermines the others. So that's the principle that's at play in the case of Zeyachol V'Zeyachol. Alternatively, we said that it could be that it's... No, we have no such principle that you can't have two people do a single act. Rather, the patur here in the case of Zeyachol V'Zeyachol is based on the principle, more generally, widely accepted principle, that when it comes to Maisim, or when it comes to even just... not even just Maisim, but just defining Metzius... Misayaya and Bamamish. A Misayaya isn't a contributing legally significant element in achieving towards a certain end, whether or not you're talking about a Misa, it's not considered to be an Osa, or if you're discussing Chafatzim and they're being able to support something, which is the case of Zav in the Gemara. So then it's not defined as being something which is part of that, supporting the Zav. We have a klal of Masei Embo Mamish. So whereas others assume, presumably Rabbi Meir, probably Rabbi Shimon also maybe, that Misayaya entails both being unnecessary and also being insufficient. In other words, it's something which you could have done without, and also once it's there, it doesn't help. You need the other thing to have been there. You need the other oset to have been there. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that what defines something as being a misayaya is that he's not necessary. If it could have been done without it, and you wouldn't have been made a difference, so then, and therefore you didn't make it really a difference, and your presence there did not change anything, so then you're defined as being a misayaya. And therefore, in the case of Zayachal and Zayachal, where each of them is unnecessary, each of them are misayayas. Now, this question, as I said, has major implications for the character of the Chiyuv v'zen yachol v'zen yachol. According to the first approach, we'll explain that Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between assigning one Maisa to two different agents, which cannot be done, and assigning one Maisa to a single agent comprised of two individuals working collaboratively. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that if you have somebody who's working collaboratively, you have two people rather working collaboratively, in a joint effort, so then that's quite different than saying this is a single Maisa, he did it and he did it. This is, they did it together. They did it as part of one effort, as two hands in a sense of a single agent, of a single person. And Rabbi Yehuda argues that in the case of Zeyachol v'Zeyachol, so you have no collaboration. In the case of Zeyachol v'Zeyachol, the very fact that each required the others and each depended on the other's act in order to achieve its end, so that itself is mitzarif their efforts into a single collaborative effort, and therefore they can be chayiv, in a sense, as a yachid shasa. According to the second approach, there is no principle precluding the attribution of a single deed to two different agents, especially if neither has more compelling claim than the other. So there's no problem with saying that he did it and he did it. The only problem of Zayachov Zayachov was that each of them was a misayaya. Neither of them warranted it because each of them was unnecessary. Well, that doesn't apply, obviously, to Zayin Yachol, who is necessary. In the case of Zayin Yachol, Zayin Yachol, he's not a misayaya, and therefore each of them is going to be chayav as an independent balamaisa, as an independent avrayan. In other words, the fact that the other one was involved, that somebody else was involved in the case, is simply irrelevant. It doesn't really detract from each's involvement, each's own maisa. I mentioned two issues where each of these where this issue about how we understand the chiv of Zayachov, Zayachov, Zayniachov, Zayniachov comes to the fore. The first one was the question of Shir Echad. How obvious was it that Rabbi Yehuda will only require one Shir between them? Right? So we saw that this is in Machlokas in the Rishonim, in Tosos, 2 days in Tosos. Now whether or not the Gemara ever considered the possibility that Rabbi Yehuda would require Shnei Shirim, or only it only considered the possibility that Rabbi Meir, in the case of Zayachov v'Zayachov, would require Shnei Shirim. So the two days, whether or not the question is equally applicable for Rabbi Yehuda. And we explained that if each of them is chayav as independent agents, so then there's clearly room to wonder and to be mistopic. So what are we doing here? Are we dividing it, what really seems to be a single Maisa, into two concurrent Maisas? We're saying we have two concurrent Maisas here. This single Maisa, we're going to sort of divide and parse and say, you're responsible for part of it, you're responsible for part of it. And really view, not say responsible for part of it, I mean, you're responsible for one Maisa that occurred here, and then concurrently this other Maisa, and in which case you would say you require two Shiurim. Or are we really just assigning a single Maisa twice in succession? It's his Maisa, and then we can double count, we can also attribute it to the other guy too. So that question is clearly warranted. However, if the chiyuv is based on we view them as a sort of a two-headed single agent of one Maisa Aveira, so then there's much less room to wonder whether or not you could have been chayav, you would require Shnei Shirim. What's the reason you might think that you would require Shnei Shirim? There's one Maisa Aveira here. It happens to be there are two agents, there's one agent. It happens to be that it's a two-headed individual, or two people that comprise that agent, but there's one Maisa Aveira, and therefore there's clearly one Kizayis that would be required. So as I mentioned, that's 2 days. So then the second issue which I mentioned was the question of whether or not in theory, or at least fundamentally, it would have made sense to say that it could be chayav a single chattas between them, if such a thing were possible. This is something which emerges in the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Mem, where the Gemara mentions that if you hold Kufra Kapara, or if, actually doesn't even, I don't think it's clear that it is going with that Deo, or at least it seems that way, that how do you what happens in the din? What happens in the case of a shorshal shnei shutafim who kills a person? So then in that case, where he's a chayav kofer, so what do we do? Do we say, and the Gemara rejects, he sort of poses a dilemma. You can't say that he's chayav, that they'll each be chayav kofer, because kofer echad marchmanav lo shnei kofer. But also it doesn't make sense to say you should be chayav each a chatzi kofer, because kofer marchmanav lo chatzi kofer. So on the point regarding the shnei koferim, the Tosos bring up the question, well, apparently they understood, and this is an important point for Kofer, and I was discussing this with Effie, that apparently they understood that it was parallel, somehow parallel to Korban. The nature of the Kapar of Kofer is somehow parallel to Korban, and therefore they also seem to have understood that the principle then would be something like, you know, you can't bring two Mechaprim, you can't have two Mechaprim for a single Maisa Aveira. So the question they asked was, but what do you mean we see implicitly? You see in the Gemara of Shabbos that that you have Shlaim that are Chayavim, and Mistama. They don't say it as a fact. It's interesting, they don't think it has to be, but they think it nonetheless really it is. In Astam, you're talking about two people bringing two chatavs. So, what happened to chatas echav lo shnei chatavs? So the there's a series of answers in both in the Tosos Salatar and in the Rabbeinu Tam that basically accepts the premise. It really, and fundamentally, you should be chayav one chatas, and you could be yotze with one chatas, just like one maisa. Negicha of a single shor would be mechayev of only one kofer. Elamai, it happens to be that nishkeferlach, if you have to pay two chatas, right? Le gavoa, you know, makbid, if it's a single person, it is almost misvar, doesn't make any sense to say. If it's money that's being paid to a person, it doesn't make any sense to say that it should be marviach because it happens to be that it was owned by two people. Whereas, what's the difference if you bring two chatas, or perhaps? And a chenami really should bring a chati chatas, but there's just it's no such thing. Korban is in a bachaluka. But the answer that the and other answers as well. But the other answer that's given by the Rabbeinu Tam, the Tamei Rabbeinu Tam, Alatar, is that there's a very big difference. In this case, what are we discussing? In the case of kofer, you have one maisa ritzicha, one act by one shor. In the case of the shnayim shasa'ua, in the cases again where you're chayav. So in those cases, you have the way he formulated it. It's quite explicit. He says it's ki'ilu. We view it as if you did it each in succession. In other words, it can be mechayiv him for doing it, bezeh achar zeh, almost that even though it happened at once, but we assign it to his ma'isa, and then we assign it separately to his ma'isa. We say it's his ma'isa. So therefore, we view it as sort of two ma'isa veiros, and therefore each of them is chayiv achatas. You couldn't ever have thought that you would be chayiv that you could be yotze with one chatas for the two of them. They're each chayiv is separate chatas independently. So I think clearly that obviously relates to this issue of if you view it as a collaborative maisa aveira, so then there's room to think one chata should be sufficient. And then you have to wonder why not. If you assume that such a thing is true, that one maisa aveira warrants one kapara but no more. But if you say that that you view them as each independently being over an aveira, it happens to be that they did it each through the same vehicle, the same maisa. So then the question is much less apt, and that's presumably the answer that you'd give, like Rabbeinu Tam, that we're dealing here with two Maisa Aveiros, and therefore there's nothing to discuss. Okay. That was where we left off last time. So now coming back to our Gemara. So I think that in terms of the question that we asked, namely, if we understand that the din of the Ptur of Hakash Emikah Delahamis is based on the idea that it's not a shear, it doesn't qualify as a maisa ritzicha, as a makas mavis. So I think whether or not that would apply in the case of multiple hakaos, she'in banhen kedei lahamis, I think depends, I think, on this question. If you assume, or I think it could depend, if you assume that the basis for the chiyuv of a zeni yachol, is that we view them as acting collectively, collaboratively, as legally equivalent to two hands in one act. So then I think it seems to me, the Rapashut, that the Ptur will not apply here. Because here, because if that's the case, so then we're viewing them as two hands, so we wouldn't say that if somebody, let's say, smashes somebody, a victim in the head with his two hands, well, we'll see. If the left, we'll assess what the left hand did and what the right hand did. And if neither of them did a hakash, so then it's a makasha, it's a Makashay Makdilamis, obviously not. to the extent that the single agent is using two of his hands to do something, so those the act is going to be defined as what he does with the full instruments, and that's if together they constitute a hakash yesh bo kedei l'hamis, so that's going to be clearly assessed as a yesh bo kedei l'hamis. So even what we're saying in the case of zeni yachol, is that the basis of the chiyuv is that they're acting collaboratively, collectively, as a single agent comprised of two individuals, but as a single agent. So then it's clear to me, at least I think, that what we're going to say is, well, let's assess this collectively. Is this is between what they have here together and hakash yesh bo kedei l'hamis? And if the answer is yes, so the fact that zeni yachol each individually is no more relevant than the fact that each hand is doing something which by itself is not yesh bo kedei l'hamis. However, if we assume that the basis for the chiyuv, for the chiyuv in the case of zeni yachol in general, is that the two are acting as individual agents and there's just simply no problem with being mechayev each of them regardless of the fact that the other one is involved. So then I think it's quite possible, and I think I sort of go back and forth whether I think it's likely, but at the very least it's quite possible and quite mistaber to assume that it could be that the Ptur will apply. Why? Because first of all, it makes sense to assume that in the case of Zeni Yachol, what gets attributed to each alone, perhaps every Adam, but alone, is the Totzah, not the other person's Maisa. In other words, what we're saying is that what between the two of you, you achieved a certain result, right? The guy died. So what is the din of Zeni Yachol? Let's say in the case of Hotzah. So what is the din of Zeni Yachol? What are we saying? We're saying that we can view you as having achieved the result of moving the Chavitz, and then we can also view the other guy as having achieved the result of moving that Kezias, or the Gorgeris. But it's not to say that we view you as having replaced his Maisa, or having caught his Maisa necessarily. That we don't know. So if that's true, so what would we be saying in the case of Zeni Yachol, in the case of Hakas, these multiple Hakas, is that we attribute the death to what you did. Okay, that could be, if that's true that you attribute the death to what he did, then fine. But what he did was a Hakas Shein Bakedei L'Hamis. Now, attributing the Totzah to the act is not going to solve the Ptur. It's not going to rid itself of the Ptur. The Ptur was despite the fact. In other words, the classic case of Akasha making the helmets, let's say, according to this understanding of it, is a case where, let's say, I'm the only one involved, I do an act that kills him, but it wasn't an act which was predictably lethal, or which was reasonably assumed to be lethal initially. So what we're saying is, we understand you killed him. The act killed him. But that isn't the kind of act which is a Maaser Ratzicha. But if that's true, if that's how we understand this Ptur, then the fact that we're attributing the death to the act of each individual here, in the case of Asar Sheku, will not dispense with the basis for the Ptur. Right? That seems to be... And secondly, even if you want to say, and I think I originally thought that this is sort of why I didn't bring up the issue of Zav in the end, about whether or not the Rabbi Yehuda, the Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is relevant to, could possibly be relevant in the case of Zav, namely, and I don't know if you guys went through those cases, the case of Zav, where if you assume that let's say... What?
I didn't have time.
If you assume that everybody agrees in the case of mita of talisos, that right, these are, you have one mita, you have one bed, and then four legs, and under each leg is a talis. So the halach would be that if let's say I'm sitting on a talis on top of that talis, so clearly that all the talisim would have, that's asar talisos is another mishnah in Zavim, all the talisim have a status of mishka vaza. So the question so there's a machlokas, however, about this case where you have the arba tulisos tachas each regel. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon is mitayer in those cases, and the Rabbanan are mitame. Now, why is Rabbi Shimon mitayer? Because we have a din that's based on the Brice and Toras Kohanim, and it appears in the Mishnah in a case which there's no cholek about, that you, in order for something to be defined as a mishka v'zav, you need to have rubo shel zav nisalav. So let's say, for instance, you were to be lying down on five benches. This is the case of the Mishnah. If I lie down on five benches and I have my foot over on this one and then a knee on that one and a hand on that one, so in that case, there is no Mishka Vazav because there's no Rubo Shalzav Nisalav. Rabbi Shimon clearly requires, and this his explanation of why it is that all these regalim are tahoros, is because each of the regalim, he requires a Shir Ziva L'chol Echad V'Echad. He requires each regal to be no say. Each talus, in a sense, to be no say rubo shel zav, And that, in this case, you don't have that, right? So that's Rabbi Shimon. The question is, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? So this, I'm sorry, what do the Rabbanon hold? So the simple explanation is that the Rabbanon hold, this is a machlokas v'atzavim. The Rabbanon hold, you don't need a shir zeiv v'lechal echad v'echad. It took me a while to figure out, because the Rishonim all reject what Rashi would have to tell you that the other explanation of it is, but they don't explain what was the alternative for Rabbi Yehuda. It took me a while to figure it out. Nobody's holding on the din of Rubushal Zav. That's an explicit Mishnah. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that you don't need a shir zeiv v'lechal echad v'echad. Why? Because the halacha of Rubushal Zav is not a halacha in defining something as a mishkav azav, it's halacha in defining something as shchiva or yeshiva, meaning the principle simply that in order for the ma'aseh to be defined as yeshiva at all, has to be that it's ruvo of the person on something. Right? So the case of safsalim, you just don't have a yeshiva at all. You only need the initial mishkav, the one that he's on initially, to be ruvo alav, because at that point you have a yeshiva, a ma'aseh yeshiva. Once you have the Matzah Yeshiva, so then there's no halacha that requires it for whatever you're defining the Mishkav of, have Rubo on it. Right? You follow that? Where do you follow that? You follow that, Evie?
No.
Alright, well, it's not, yeah, we can. But either way, but the other day in Rashi, however, is that, no, that's not the Machokas. Everybody agrees you need Shir Zivil Chol Echad V'Echad. The question, what's the Machokas said? Machokas is L'chitasam about Shalayim Shasu, what Rabbi Shimon holds that you need Shir Zivil Chol Echad and you don't have it there, believes that that's a case because he holds that Shnayim Shasa'ua, that Zayni Yachol, V'Zayni Yachol are Peturim. Right? And the Rabbanan who hold that you're Tameim, it's not that they don't think that you need a Shir Ziva L'chol Echav Yachol, that anything which is going to be defined as Mishkav Azav has to have Rubo Shal Zav on it. No, they agree with that. They just think you do have that. How do they have that?
Because the Shitas Rabbanan, the Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Zayni Yachol, V'Zayni Yachol, so each of them is Chayav, each of them is considered to have done it.
Now, if you say this, if you say that Shitas Rabbanan, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda regarding Zeni Yachol provides for the ability to say that Rabbanan require that each of the regalim be nosei rubushal zav, that each of the talesim under the regal essentially be nosei rubushal zav, but that the Rabbanan, even though they agree that they think that you have that here because they hold Zeni Yachol shneim chayavin, so clearly the assumption is then that when you say Zeni Yachol shneim chayavin, so each of them is chayav on their own, independently, as if he had done it himself. So in the context of a ma'isa, it means that he's considered to have done the entire ma'isa alone on by himself, and that's what we're bringing chayim for. In the case of Ruvush al-Zav, in the case of the regalim, which are being nosei the zav, so each of the regalim is considered to have been, on its own, nosei rubo shalazav, nosei the entire person. Meaning, had you held the other perspective of the chiyu of Zeni Yachol, had you held that it was based on their being considered to work in collaboration, that it's a cooperative effort, if you held that way, then you wouldn't say about each of the regalim that each of them is nosei rubo shalzav. What you're saying is the whole complex, the four regalim together are being rubo shalzav collaboratively. But none of the individual regalim is being said to be nosei rubo. So clearly then, if you assume that Shitas Rabbanan regarding Zeni Yachol could work to explain how the Rabbanan are mitame, despite the fact that they hold that each regal needs to be nosei rubo, so clearly you're assuming that it's kilu, each is osei hakol. So in the case of Shnayim Shesu'ua, we're saying, you did the entire tzah, and separately, you did the entire tzah, so what we're saying in the case of regalim is that each, this regal was nosei rubo, then this net regal was nosei rubo, and then this regal was nosei rubo, and then this regal was nosei rubo, each independently on its own. Now, the reason I mention this is because you could argue, oh, even if you hold it, in the case of Zeni Yachol, so each is chayiv independently, the basis for that, the reason for it is that we actually view each of them independently as doing the entire pu'ula, including, in other words, we attribute what the other guy did to you, too. So if you say that, you could have said, oh, so in the case of Asar Sheiku, so even if you say that each of them is chayiv independently, one could have said this, could have maybe made the argument, that even if you say that each of them is chayiv as independent agents, but it's still, in terms of what you are chayiv for, you're chayiv for doing the two things together, meaning what you did and what he did. And if that's the case, one could have maybe said, well, then you have hakash, yesh bagdei lamas, because then we'll assess it collectively. We'll assess the two hakos together, and therefore it's hakash, yesh bagdei lamas. But I still think you won't necessarily say that.
First of all, when you say for that day in Rashi that the Rabbanan are based on their shita regarding Zeni Yachol, the case of Rubo Shazav, so that doesn't necessarily mean that we attribute pe'ula sanesia, if you will, of each of the regalim, other the regalim, to each regal successfully, so that each regal is therefore defined as being as doing what all the regalim are doing. It's not necessarily that. Rather, we just simply attribute the result entirely to that single regal. And if that's the case, then the equivalent here, in the case of Asari Kuz, would not be to say that each agent is defined as having, let's say, hit him both what he did and what the other guy did. No, that's not the case.
But even if you want to say that, we view each regal as doing what all the other ones are doing too, right? And as we can attribute all Geulas HaNesiyah, it's lifting it up, that's what's attributed. But even if you say that, so that, therefore, you might say, well, in our case, even if you hold that they're each Chayiv independently, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, well, pretend like you're the only agent involved here, and then we'll assess everything as having been all done by you. Even if you want to say that's how we view it, you guys follow what I'm saying here? Even if you want to say that's how we view it, I still think it's not obvious that you would say that in this case it would be Chayiv. Why? We're saying that you attribute successively what I did and what he did to me, and then next time you attribute what I did and what he did to him. But even if that's the case, the way I would think that we would view it then is each of them did hakash and begadel hamas and non-maiser v'tzicha. So fine. So then what happens then when we say that I'm responsible for everything and he's responsible for... I'm responsible for doing two non-maiser v'tzichas. It's true that if you were to assess them together, then they would be equivalent of hakash yesh begadel hamas. But where do we get that that's what we do? Now, even if we assume that I'm considered to be doing what he did, I'm not convinced, though, that what we'll say is that, well, then we have to assess it as HaKash Yesh Bagdil HaMas, since each of them, since between the two of them, they have Yesh Bagdil HaMas. Who says that we assess it then at that point? Maybe we just attribute the non-Maiser Tzichas, both of them, to each separately. Follow what I'm saying? Mashallah Dover Doma a little bit. I don't want to confuse it more, but it's like sort of like the Ramban's Chatzi Dover. You guys familiar with that at all?
Yeah.
So then I won't forget it. But it's another case where basically the Ramban argues that if you have the Zashita in the Gemara that we say davar v'lo chatzi davar, which means that, let's say, you need two simane gadlus, two sa'aros, in order for it to be define somebody as a gadola. So let's say you have one kat edim says we saw seir achas be kresa, and one that says we saw seir achas be gaba. What? So the what?
No, I just said gaba.
Yeah. So we hold that in this case, davar v'lo chatzi davar. Why? Well, we know now that she has two sa'aros. So the Ramban's, there are different explanations, about five different explanations that we don't give. But the Ramban's explanation for it is because we could be misari if aggregate adios, but what are they telling us each year? Each of them is testifying that she's a katana. What she's saying is, what this group is saying, we saw her, she did not have simana gadlus, she had one. And what the other one is saying is, we did not have her simana gadlus, we saw one. So you have two adim together, you want to put it together, great. You have two people confirming she's a katana. 0+0. So that's Kain, what I'm saying here. In other words, we don't, according to Ramban, the point is again there, you're not reassessing, you know, just take the information and then assess it now. No, you assess what you have independently, so even if you want to attribute it, the mashal is sort of aggregated, but you're not going to aggregate and then assess as far as the din of hakash yesh begadel hamas is concerned, you're just going to say, there are two hakash yesh begadel hamas. So I'm pretty convinced, this is why, even as I'm telling it to you, I think it's possible to say that if you hold it this way, you can still view it as HaKash Yesh Begadel HaMas in the Sesek collectively, but I'm just not sure. It seems to me that, first of all, if you don't assume that we view me as being responsible for the other guy's Maisa, we just attribute the Totsah purely to me, and then purely to him, but we don't necessarily assume that I did his Maisa, so then it's clear there won't be any this is a HaKash Yesh Begadel HaMas, the Petur still applies. Even if you want to say I'm viewed as doing his Maisa, I'm not sure that we wouldn't just say, fine, then I'm viewed as doing two Maisim, Shein Michal and Muhammad. So, still put.
What about your example of eating with my hands?
Yes, that's what I'm saying, the question, though, is, there's no guarantee that even if you say that, you know, we'll view each of them as having done both of the things separately, and independently I'll view, but there's no guarantee that you're going to say then that we should still assess this as, meaning assess whether or not the Hakka was Yeshua Gdei Lamas as two hands, as opposed to as two individuals, who then we're assessing. You can attribute. You know, what we're saying is after I've already defined this as being a hakashi ein bagdel hamas, because when we assessed it initially, that's what it was. Yeah. So then you're saying, fine. So you're responsible for that act, and you're responsible for that act. You want to say your hand is doing that, your hand is doing that. In that case, what I'm being told that each hand is doing is a hakashi ein bagdel hamas, and there's no guarantee, there's no assumption that I'll reassess it then and see if collectively it's a yesh bagdel hamas. You see what I'm saying at all? Yeah. It's sort of like the Ramban's, you know.
You're saying that at the end of the day, the only Machai is going to be Ahashish Bogdilam is not someone actually killing someone.
Right, but I'm saying, right, that's first of all, that was really the first point. And I'm saying, even if you want to say that I am responsible for his Akkah, that I'm viewed as doing it, but who's to say then that that in terms of whether or not it's a Hakkah, Sheyesh Bakadei L'Hamas that I've done, that we're going to assess that the collective act entirely, as opposed to saying you're responsible for two acts that have already been assessed to be Hakkah, Sheyesh Bakadei L'Hamas. Let's say I already hit him. Let's say if you want to be the two hands, maybe we'll just view it as I hit him once, Ein Bakadei L'Hamas, and then later I came in and hit him again, Ein Bakadei L'Hamas. Two acts that kill him that are Ein Bakadei L'Hamas, I mean, that those clearly you're going to be punted there. So if you have two non Ma'aser Ritzichas, you don't have a Ma'aser Ritzicha. So I just think that's what you would say. So if you hold that way in the end, I think it's quite possible. Maybe even likely that if you understand the Patur that way, of Hakashim and Kulamas, and you understand the Chiyu of Zeni Yachol of Zeni Yachol that way, and it's possible that there would be no necessity. That cannot be just the justification for the Pasuk, because those cases you're just going to be Patur in Ein Bakadei L'Hamas. So Zeni Yachol of Zeni Yachol is Patur, that's true, but not because of the Pasuk, that's Patur because it's Ein Hakashim and Kulamas. So what's an alternative?
Alternative answer to
why we need Yeah. Unless you want to just go with the Nesivos, or with the Bnei Yeshua, or, you know, but I'm assuming, or even not assuming, I think there is an alternative. The alternative, I think, is to suggest that even if the din of Shnayim Shesu'ua isn't limited to a particular lav, like Melchah Shabbos, or to even a particular class of lav, like, a specific class of lav, like Chai V'Chataos, nonetheless, it isn't true that it applies to Shisa, Mitzvahs Lo Sase. It doesn't apply universally to all Lavin. It only applies to Lavin which bear a particular feature. And I'll define that feature in a second, but just that this is so, I think, is quite evident when you consider several cases where this is clearly borne out. Let's say you have two people that own Chametz, Beshutvas. So are they going to be over on Bayer Abayi Matze? So it happens to be that it seems like it might be a machlokas. The Taz for sure thinks you're chayev. Might well be that the Bach thinks you're putter. The Michasinuch, he thinks it depends. If it's one kezayis on one kezayis, then there's no chiyuv. But if two kezayisim, there will be a chiyuv. And he bases himself on a Tosos, which basically is working with the principles of Tosfos in Sukkah and Daf Lamed Vav, that when in cases like this where you need something which is yours, right here it's Lecha, Lager Lecha, the case Tosfos was discussing was assuming that you needed not Lechem, Lechem, but the twin case was the one that Tosfos was bothered by was if you hold it, Matzah needs to be yours, not based on Lechem, because there is no Lechem, but Lechem. Actually, the Gemara says, well, Matzah Shechem, we don't hold the Shita. Most of the time we don't actually use the Machin for this. But that it doesn't need to be yours. But there is a Shita in the Gemara that says it does because it's Lechem Lechem. The Darshan is a Gzer Shava to Chala, which is Arisa Shechem. So, but nonetheless, the Gemara implies, basically it sounds like you can be Yotze. Even though we can't be Yotze with an Esrog Shel Shutzvin because it's not Lechem, right? That's from the Gemara in Yesh Nochlin, but in the case of Matzah, so the Gemara implies, it seems, that according to the way Tosos understood it, that if you were to have Matzah Shel Shutzvin, you could be Yotze. So Tosos explained, oh, you're Yotze, why? Because you're, Minasam, you're Ochel Shnei Gezeisim. The principle which is Mechasin understood from this, and it's reasonable, it's a surprising thing, is that basically, what we define is every out of every Shnei Gezeisim, we define one of them is yours. So that if you have Shnei Gezeisim, no, it's the case of the Esrog, there's just one Esrog. But in the case of Matzah, so you have multiple Gezeisim, you only need one of them to be yours, and in fact, that's what we assume, is that one of them really is yours. Either way, so the Mechasinah says on the basis of that Tosos that, likewise, if you have two Gezeisim that they own, so then each of them can be Chayav, because one of them they own entirely, whereas if it's only one kezayis, so no. So either way, the point is that everybody agrees that, well, the disagreement concerns one of two things. Either the nature of shutvus, it's probably what it's about, it's a bilus of shutvus. We view it as each of them owning the whole thing, each of them owning, you know, a part of chelik, which is lo mevurar. Is it qualitatively a different kind of bios? Those sort of questions. On the one hand, and then the second is the parameters of the iser vayar bayimatze, what is lecha, lechem. Is that specifically excluding bios for shutvus? But everybody seems to agree that if indeed shutvus, bios for shutvus, qualifies as the sort of thing which the Torah offers in Lo'ir Elecha, then they are indeed chayav even for Kizayis Echad. What? Why? What about the dinner of Shayim Shesu'ah? Maybe is it because Shayim Shesu'ah is only limited to Lav Dechad, Lav Malcha Shabbos? I think the answer is obvious. No, Shayim Shesu'ah bears absolutely no relevance whatsoever to this question. Why? Because... Actually, let me give you another one. Actually, I don't know that... I haven't seen anybody discuss this, but I think it's a different question again. Let's say you have an Olas... That's the point. Exactly. The Dinav is Be'asosa. So it's you have a Maisa that cannot be Nechlak B'Shnayim. Doesn't mean that two people can't be over the same Isser, even with the same Kezayas. It's a Halacha governing regarding a Maisa. Now, that could be because it's... That's exactly the point. I was going to bring another example, but yeah. I'm getting there. You have to, I'm building it up.
You're going to say that you're chayiv on the tutsah?
Well, maybe. Yeah, I think, but that was the next point. Well, not actually, that was not the next point. I think you need to state that it could be that even if you require maisa, right, that in fact you might not, but to say a little bit slightly different than what you're saying, it'll be bechlal, it'll encompass what you're saying, but if that it could be that even if there's a maisa that's required to violate a certain law, nonetheless, we're not going to define it. It won't be... This principle will still apply, will still obtain. And that is if you assume that the what's mechayiv isn't the maisa. Instead of the word mechayiv, I like to use the word, the phrase which I like to use it because the Rambam uses it when he discusses the davar shemuzar love, and he's distinguishing in the Sefer Mitzvot between asharos on the one hand and meaning the formulations which prohibit, which he doesn't want to count, and he's distinguishing between onshim, but also instances of doing an avera, but he says that the thing which the law prohibits, that's the what he calls the davar shemuzar lav. Therefore, he, for instance, mitzvah tesvav is he's hiranu me, right? So that thing is the davar shemuzar lav. If you require maisa, but if the maisa isn't the davar shemuzar lav, so this principle will apply. Now, why wouldn't the maisa be of the davar shemuzar lav if it's required? So that could be for any number of reasons. One of them, which is sort of a unique one, but it's just a good illustration of it, is something like what you have in the case, example of Lo Sachmud, according to the Rambam. You guys familiar with this? Rambam in Hilchos Gzeila seems to say Davar v'Hifuchot in the same halacha. He says on the one hand that a person is, that you're not over on the Isser of Lo Sachmud. It's the issue is that you can't be Chomei Belev, you can't covet something, but you're not over unless you actually go ahead and take it. Right? You have to do a Maisa. He says, Eino Achios a Maisa. In the same halacha, it then says, and if you do it, you're not loke. Why aren't you loke? Because there's a lot of shimon mice. So the rabbi says, Lo reisi teimu gadol mizeh. He happens to disagree with both points, if I recall correctly. But he said, but according to the Rambam, who thinks you require a mice, so then what does that mean? You just said that you need a mice. Ain't lecha mice gadol mizeh, then grabbing this person's chepetz. So it's clear that the answer for the Rambam is that the mice... There's an assumption regarding Lav Shem Maisa, but what's clear is that whatever the Rambam is assuming is, the fact is that if it's the Maisa isn't the Davar Shemuzar Lav, then it's not going to be defined as a Lav Sheishu Maisa. And he's assuming, in this case, what's the Davar Shemuzar Lav in the case of Lasachman? The Davar Shemuzar Lav is the Chimud Belev. The Maisa, in this case, in the case of Lasachman for the Ram, is required as a Shear. It's a certain caliber of Chimud Belev. Chimud Belev, which is actually so intense that it's acted upon, that's what's Mechayiv you. That's the Chimud Belev, which is Aser. So the Maisa, in that case, is required as an expression of the phenomenon that really is the Iser, that really is a Davar Shemuzar Lav, namely the Chimud Belev. Now, if you take that case, let's say, for instance, two people, each of them are chomate a certain thing, and they help each other out, they do it together. They're motzi that the person's chepetz together. Would you say, well, Shnayim Shesu'ah? Let's assume that it applies universally. Or at least there's no particular limitation to specific kinds of, to Lav and Shabbos and Chatav. Obviously, I think it's quite obvious that in that case you would be over both of them. Why? Because the Chimud Belev is not Meshutav. Each of them has Chimud Belev. It's expressed in a maisa. So if the maisa isn't what's the davar shemuzar lav, you don't have to have ownership over the maisa in order to be necessarily, in order to be over. The maisa is an expression, and it could be that it fulfills that function, even if it's not entirely assigned to you as the owner of the maisa, in a sense. Are you guys follow that? I mean, it's pasha. Happens to be that I think it's possible that chatas could also be that way, which is another possible answer to the Tosas question. You could have just said that what's machayev, if you assume that what's machayev in chatas. The Tosas doesn't say this, but it's a possible answer. What's machayev in chatas? Not the maisa. The maisa is an expression of the shkaga of the helim, which is machayev. It's you're not knowing. It's iyadiyas adin. It's an iyadiyas, but not just any ignorance is going to be machayev chatas. It's an iyadiyas adin, which then bears fruition, which then comes into play. So if that's the case, so then it's true in the case of a multiple. Both of you did the Maisa Aveira together. So neither of you did a full Maisa Aveira. But nonetheless, each of you had your own Helen, your own Shkaga. That's what we're talking. So that's something similar to what you have here. But another, so that's one example of where the Maisa isn't the Davar Shemuzalav, even though it's required. What's another example? What you mentioned. Namely, that what's Usser is not the act. But rather, what's Usser is the state, the Totsah, the result that follows the act. Or more precisely, I should say, what's usher is the responsibility for that state, for bringing about that state. Right? In other words, the davar shemuzar lav is a certain state of affairs, which is affected by that maisa. Memela, the maisa is required, but not because it is itself the thing which is prohibited, but rather because it's what confers you the confers upon you as having the status of having brought about the thing which is prohibited, namely that state. It means that you're responsible for that state. So this, I'll just illustrate this with something which I think is otherwise something a little puzzling. This is both of you hold, regardless, whether or not you hold, whatever you hold about what the limitations of Lavin, none of the Achronim who discuss this question even mention this point, which is somewhat puzzling. And that is that the Gemara says in Bav Metzia Daf Ches that you have a case where you can have Shutav and Shaganvu who are Chayavim. What is this case of Shutav and Shaganvu? So Rashi says, and it refers to a case where I commanded you to go ahead and to steal something on my behalf. Shliach. So Rishonim are bothered by that. Why are they bothered? Ain't Shutav Arver? Yeah. So most Rishonim reject that. They think that's not a good case. That wouldn't be Shnayim Sheschayim. Rather, what's the case? So they say it means, this is Tosos and all the other Shonim, this case is a case where two people were Magbiya, the Chavitz, together. Shutafim Shagambu is where they both took the Chavitz out together. In that case, the Gemara says, both of them are Chayavim. Right, this is the Tosos and Daf Ches and Bavim. See, Shutafim Shagambu, Peshu Kuntra, Shahotzi, Ludaito, Udas Chavero. So that's what the... that's what they say. And he says, Tosos himself says, no, it means Shutafim Shagambu, Shagbiyu Shneim. That's Rav Rishon. So he gives your name. So the Gemara says both of them are chayav. Okay, all right. But how is that? Presumably both of them are over. So how'd that happen? I mean, if they both were to have carried the chayvets on Shabbos, let's say Mershus Echad, Mershus Sheni, they would be keturim kishlayim shesu'a. But if they both carry it, so they're going to be over on Gezel, or not only over on Gezel, they're going to be chayav as gazlanim. So, you could say, yeah, that's exactly the point. That in fact, in Chinami, it's a p'tur only with regard to Shabbos, or it's a p'tur only regarding Lavin to Chataos. Interestingly enough, nobody, at least what I've seen, none of the major hitters who advocate this approach, namely that it's limited, mention this as a raya. They mention our Gemara, they mention the Gemara in Zvachim, but they don't mention this Gemara. Why? So I think one can argue quite simply, which is that. Based on this point, that the principle of Shnayim Shesu'a dictates that we cannot assign a single maisa to two different agents. In other words, to the extent that each person has a legitimate claim to ownership of the maisa, that undermines the other's ownership of that maisa. We don't ascribe it to him and attribute to him in that sense as he's the author of the maisa. However, participation in a pa'ula, even if it isn't sufficient to grant you to lay claim to being the Baal Hamaisa, but it could very well still confer responsibility for the Totsah. And if that's what's Usser, so then you're not going to have the Din of Shnayim Shesu'uah. Because why? And the idea is simple. One, what does this principle mean? It means that one Maisa cannot be ascribed to two different people. A single human act, so that's got to be borne by a single human. But it's quite clear, and makes it pretty compelling to say, that there is no such principle when it comes to a certain state of affairs. When it comes to a certain state of affairs, multiple people can be responsible for it. There's nothing that indicates that a certain state of affairs has to be borne by a single person in some way. Multiple people can be responsible for it. So it could very well be that the Maisa, even if it's something which we couldn't define as being belonging to both of them in the sense of they are defined as the Oseh HaDavar, but nonetheless, they both bear responsibility for the Totsah, and hence they're both going to be Chayav. In the case of Gzela, it's quite evident this is what we were discussing. We're not discussing, this is not an Isser where what's prohibited is the Maisa Gzela, the Maisa HaGbal, let's say, for instance. What's Usser is the Hotsah, the effect, the Hotsah Mershusah. How do I know? So I think it's, besides being compelling just misvar, I think also bring a couple of riots. First of all, you can have, this is a pretty good riot, you can have the Maisa without having the Avera, so long if there's no Totsah. Let's say you in fact were to go take the Chepetz thinking that it's yours. So you leave with it and think it's yours. So you're Magbiyat. So the Rishonim seem to assume, the Machan Avraim assumes that they were Pasha the Chol Rishonim. So Machan Avraim and that everybody agrees that if somebody's okay something in Kasav Rishu Shalom, so he's not a Gazlan. He's not a Gazlan B'Shogeg either. He's not a Gazlan B'Chal. He has to give it back, but there's no status of Gzela with certain Nafkaminas. It's not just that it's not honest and it's a non-Gazlan. Why? Because inasmuch as the Gemara Nivama says explicitly, right, Odir B'Nichsei Hager isn't Kone, right, if somebody has a Rishut that's Hefker and I think it's mine mistakenly and I proceed to do something which is a Maisa Chazaka, which would be Kone if I intended to be Kone, but if you don't intend to be Kone because you think it's yours, so then you're not going to be Kone. So that there's no, therefore, legally speaking, I have not affected the Hotsah Amir Shus, the legal transfer from the Bailus or from the Rishus, from the domain of the Nigzal or of the owner, in the case where I do an act thinking it's mine. Therefore, even though as far as the Gula is concerned, you have what normally would be defined as a Maisa Gzela, but in as much as there's no Hotsah Amir Shus, you're not a Gazlan, and you're not over. It's clear, as I said in Rikavek. I think also you have the opposite. You can have a case, an interesting case, where you have no Maisa, and nonetheless you're still going to be over because you do have the Totsah, and that's the case of Kinyan Chatzir. Right? The Gemara says if you have an animal go into your Shus, so this is, the Ksos thinks that Rashi holds that you require a Maisa in this case. That it wouldn't be enough just to say in a situation with, say, Chatzir Mishameres, for instance, that you say Tikni L'Chatzeri, so the Ksos thinks that Rashi in that case still requires you to actually do something. And the reason is, despite the fact that it would work to be Kona, nonetheless you need a Maisa in order to be over as a Gazlan. But all, it's pretty clear that none of the other Rishonim assume that, and most Achronim are Cholik on this Ksos. It's not, there are a lot of other ways to explain that Rashi. So the assumption is that even if I just say Tikni L'Chatzeri, I didn't do anything, but I say Tikni L'Chatzeri, in as much as I've been Motzi Mershuso, because I've affected a Kinyan, or I've done an act which normally affects a Kinyan, so that would be over Gesel, you're a Gazel. So it's clear that what's over, what is Mechayiv is not a certain sort of act, but rather inducing the Totsah of Hotsah Mershuso. And inasmuch as that's the case, so then even if you have Shnayim, Shutav, Mishaganvu, even if you assume that this halacha is the Chodar Kula, Shnayim, Shasuwa, Pturin, what that means is, it's only relevant if what's Mechayiv you is that Maisa. But if it's Mechayiv you is your responsibility for the Totsah, that we don't say. Now, I think also that this might very well be what's evident, or what is manifest in the Chiluk between Halachos and Shudechos. I'll point out later. I did find that in the Feres Yisrael, I think he's saying exactly this point, this chiluk in this explanation. But he doesn't address. He doesn't think that this is what is explaining. This doesn't explain though. He brings up Xeris Kasus in the context of the difference between halachos and shchudechos. In other words, he thinks both of them are isurim that have to do with the what he calls tachlis ha'pa'ula, which is good an as good a word as totzah, I think. But he thinks that they both have to do with that, and therefore shnayim really would be relevant in either case. The only thing is there's a gzeirat kasa that popped you in the case. That's the basis for halal supposed to be chayiv, and then you have a separate tour in the case of shchutei chutz, just gzeirat kasa. That's how he says it. But I think one could argue that there's no gzeirat kasa here. There's no exceptions here. That's precisely the principle. There's a difference between halal schutz and shruti chutz. Halal schutz. So what is it that is the machai? What's the davar shemuzalav? Is it the maisa ha'alah? Nastam na. Presumably the nature of the avoda, the ritual, consists of the state of affairs in which one is responsible for putting it on mizbeach. It's being on mizbeach is the problem. Putting it there is simply the means to achieving that state. But it is the state of its being on mizbeach which is. Really, the nature of the avoda, and hence that's what's mechayev you. So shnayim shehelu. So it's true that the pulas halah. If I had to say, you know, who owns this pulas halah? Maybe the answer is neither of them. In as much as both of them, neither of them. But nonetheless, they're both equally responsible for its being hual elevated upon the mizbeach. It's being on the mizbeach is both of their responsibility. Ayidei ma'isa participation. In that maisa. So therefore, that's the basis, that's why both of them are chayiv. When it comes to shchutei chutz, however, it's not the state, any particular state of affairs that is mechayiv. Rather, it's the pulas shchita itself. Now, you could have just said that, misvara, in particular, considering that what would be the idea of putting something on his back, you understand very, very well, so it's being on his back is the problem, the halah is just a method of getting it there. Shchutei chutz is the avoda of shchutei chutz in hearing and it's the tzah. So misvar, I think I would have said this anyway, but I happen to have a very good raya for it, or at least a very good support for this point that it isn't any particular state of let's say shchut it being shachut, but rather simply the pulas hashchita, and that is what otherwise is anyway a sort of a puzzling din, which is the Gemara Nechulin brings up machlokas in several places in Chas. Yeshen shchita min chidav ad sofer na. Do we say that the way that most Rishon understood this, that when I engage in an act of let's say chatichas rova simanim or shnei simanim of an animal or oaf, let's say siman echad, so when I engage in that, am I engaged in an act of shchita the entire time, or do we say no that the until the final step where I cut that last rove of the last simen, I'm engaged in a hechsher l'shchita. The act of shchita itself consists of simply that final transition in the end. Right? So it varies nafkaminas. Nafkamina, one example being, if I'm, let's say, if you hold that during shchita, you can be posel the different halachas regarding machshava b'kashim. Shchita is that we be posel, let's say, shinui shem, or shinui, you know, you need several lishmas. In the context of shchita, so would you say that if the person had a machshava, let's say the shame of bailim achir, so it's the wrong bailim, right? The kohen was shochit, let's say, and he had in mind to be shochit for Reuven, when in fact this is Shimon's korban. So if it happened during the kachim, at least it wouldn't be old l'shem chova. The guy would have to bring another one. What about if he was choshev only in the first semen? So the Gemara says that's the machlokas of Yochanan Rish Lakish. That depends if you hold Yeshna Shchita Miatzofer, Einu Shchita Elo Basof. But another Nafkamina, the Gemara Nechulin says, the Gemara Nechulin, this is now, that's in Zvachim. The Gemara Nechulin, however, brings a Nafkamina, which is very, very strange. Namely, what happens if I'm Shochit Simen Echav Bifnim, and then Gomram Bechutz? Or Shochit Simen Echad Bechutz, and Gomram Bifnim. Gemara says, if you hold the Yeshen Einel Shchita L'Basov, so then there's no Aveir of Shutei Chutz there. But if you hold the Yeshen Shchita M'Tchila V'Atzov, then you will have violated the Shutei Chutz. By the way, presumably, that would also mean that if somebody, let's say the equivalent of Zeh Korv Zemeniach case, let's say, if I'm Shochet Tzimen Echad and then you finish it up, not that we both held the Sakim, but I'm Shochet Tzimen Echad and then you finish it. So I'm Shochet Tzimen Echad, so in that case it sounds like, according to this Deya, if you hold Yeshen Shchita M'Tchila V'Atzov, everybody's over. Question simple. Well, what do you mean everybody's over? So the truth is that this is a very difficult problem, even if you hold regardless of what you say, because lechori you haven't done a full ma'aseh shechita. The man d'amar who holds the yeshiva and the tzuba is saying that you're engaged in an act of shechita, but not. It's not that each moment of progression along the two simanim is itself an act of shechita. It's I'm engaged in an act of shechita, but it's only haschalas shechita or gemara shechita, but it isn't the whole shechita. So how is it that I'm being over if I've done only a small part of it b'chutz and the rest of it b'fnim? So I haven't done an act of shechita b'chutz. I did part of an act of shechita b'chutz. So if I were to, let's say, write a letter on Shabbos, then after Shabbos write the second letter. Chora it's a devar pashut. The key is a b'chutz. I think that you're not chayiv in that case, right? Because he didn't do the melacha ksiva shneios yosef Shabbos. He did half a melacha. So the truth is, it's a good question, but I think there could be several answers to it. But one thing is clear, and that is that even if you want to say that apparently this is the case, several other possibilities, but that are stranger. But the simplest thing to say is apparently engaging in the act of shechita itself is already mechayim. It doesn't have to be that you actually did a full shechita outside. Even if you do, if you simply engage in haschalas adavar, your osik b'shechita outside of b'chutz, it's also mechayim. That could have to do with how you understand the mechayim of shechita chutz. But either way, that seems to be evident. That seems to be the case. Now, what's clear, however, is that there's no state of shachut, nothing shechuta after you've done the act of siman echad or chatzi siman echad even. There's no shechuta. There's a half a siman has been nechtach. Nothing is shechuta. Nothing has been defined as being slaughtered, and there are other halachas that have to do with shechuta, but which I won't mention now. Let's say you wouldn't define this as having caused any tzitzah whatsoever, and yet you're chayav for shechutei chutz. So it's quite clear that as opposed to halachas chutz, shechutei chutz, what's mechayav you is the pu'ulas hashechita itself, not the tzitzah inducing the animals behemus kachim machutz being shachet. Even if by the time it was shachet, it was bifnim, you're still not over. So it's clear it's the pulas of shechita. So given that's the case, you can argue that when the Torah is saying, in the case of shechutei chutz, so the Torah says, ish lemait shnayim shashachtu. In the case of halas chutz, ish lerabo shnayim shahalu, it's precisely along these lines. This is exactly the point. In the case of halas chutz, so the mechayiv is responsibility for its being upon the mizbeach, and that even if the pu'ulas ha'ala itself was something that we couldn't define as being owned by you, but nonetheless you're both responsible for that ha'ala, so then you're mechayev. In the case of shechutei chutz, inasmuch as what's mechayev is the pu'ulas ha'shechita, neither of you is responsible, neither of you can be defined as having authored a pu'ulas ha'shechita b'chutz, and therefore in that case you're p'turim. Okay, coming back to now, any questions?
Do you want to wrap it up? In the next one, all we have to do is just go over this yisod again and make all the examples.
I do that for other people's benefit. But yeah, if you ask me, I can totally yet wait.
Right, so just to clarify, you're saying that by Ritzicha, the Ikram Echayev is the totsa of being dead?
Well, that's the issue I think that it then comes to. Now, I'll just say quickly, and then I'll mention it. If you hold that garmi is chayiv, if you hold that a certain kind of gram is chayiv, I think that's clearly what you're saying. You're saying that what's mechayiv you is not a certain kind of act. Rather, what you're chayiv for is responsibility for the ibud nefesh.
Right.
Right? You don't even need an act. You don't even need a ma'aseh b'yadayim.
Right.
Even, however, if you say that you need a ma'aseh b'yadayim, let's say you don't, right? We mentioned some, you know, the rush. This is, for those who weren't there, like the rush and the Ma'ar Migurberg and perhaps the Tosos. Seem to think that even a gram could be chayav ritzicha, mikar din, it's not like an exception. But those who disagree, and there are Rishonim that clearly disagreed, so it could be, you might say that, hold you require maisa, that means that maisa is what's mechayav. It is a makas mavis, which is mechayav. Alternatively, what they're saying is, you need a maisa as a shear in responsibility. It's not enough just to have caused it. You need to cause it certain directness. In other words, you might say gram is almost like a poter. If you cause this misa, but you did it in a way which was, not direct, so then you're going to be pater. But then shnayim shesu'ua, I did it via misa. I caused it. But it was via a misa b'yadayim. If, as far as my owning that misa b'yadayim, you couldn't say. But as my being responsible for the ibn nefesh, a misa b'yadayim, that I do have here.
Right, because we quoted a Gemara in Sanhedrin Ein Ches about Rashi saying that the Havmina is that it could be a Chiyuv Ritzicha with no actual Ritzicha.
Yeah, that was that Tosos, right?
Right. And you try to prove from there that the Ikum Echayiv isn't about the Totsa at all, it's about the Mechayiv.
I think that day there clearly assumes that. Tosos refuses to accept that that's even a Havmina.
Right.
But if you held it that you need a Pasuk for Binechayiv, that's the next Dav. That held that, what? That you need a pasuk to tell you that im yakum veholecha mishanto, that your pater mimisa, which according to Tosos is nobody could have ever said that, but some other shem seem to say no, that was right. Exactly what you learned from that.
So that would be that like this.
Yeah, that's sorry. Exactly right. Meaning this, it returns to that question.
Right.
If you held like that, if you held that not only was that a havina but lemaskana, it's true that it is a machaya, but just that we're saying, what are we saying? We're saying that an act which doesn't cause death is not a maisa ritzicha, it's not a maksim of it. So it's true, it's a machayiv, right. Is the maisa. But nonetheless, it has to be a maisa ritzicha, and that's not what you have there. If that's true, then you couldn't say this.
Right.
And then maybe you have a...